Hello, 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 everybody. I am Pedro.
And I'm Meredith.
And this is Gritty Reboot. And today, once again, we're not talking reboots. We're talking about spiritual successors, because that is the way we shoehorned a theme in, because we wanted to talk about Spinal Tap.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
it's just an excuse to talk about.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much the way it works.
Yeah.
However, the second part of this is also kind of an enjoyable experience, because this movie is weirdly a cult movie, but still kind of forgotten the time, and that's pop star Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Yeah, a movie I thoroughly enjoy.
Yes, a movie with a dated title and a very, very strange journey for this movie to end up as a well-reviewed flop at the box office that's taken on a bit of a life of its own. But it's not truly like a legendary kind of cult movie just yet. Maybe it needs another 20 years, another 10 years to stew or something like that.
Yeah. We own this movie.
We do. This is a good film. I enjoyed it when it came out. I still think it's pretty good. I think it's aged very, very well. I found myself laughing quite a bit through the movie.
I know I saw this movie by myself. I know it was this house. And it was recent.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it.
Yeah, I remember you told me that after a football game that you had gone and watched this movie. And I was like, oh, that's a shame. I really like that one. And I think there's also one that I just watched randomly because I was like, 75%. Let me check it out. And, it kind of knocked my socks off. I thought it was really funny.
I
didn't
think it was going to be any good because I'm not a big Adam Sandberg fan. I didn't think it was going to be any good.
Yeah, and I can certainly agree with you in that element that I had somewhat low expectations for the film. I had seen his previous film before this, which was, I think, Hot Rod, and that had Isla Fisher in it and Ian McShane, I believe. And that had a lot more of the humor that he carried on from SNL. And I enjoyed his bits on SNL, but I thought that movie didn't quite land. And I know that's a bit of a cult movie as well. And that fits in a lot with, what we just saw.
Yeah.
It has that same style of humor. And I think this is a much better realization of it. It also plays into the part that I think those guys do really well, which is the music.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to take advantage of their musical abilities. And, they've been always been able to make some funny stuff.
Yeah.
I remember that's how, obviously, I first came to know of Sandberg on the very first digital short, which wasn't even a digital short. It was him and, Chris Parnell. That's who it is. Chris Parnell, and they were just rapping about trying to go see a movie, Lazy Sunday.
Yeah.
Trying to go see Narnia.
Classic.
I didn't get that clip, but if I'm worth my editing, salt is playing underneath us right now. And yeah, that just kind of blew up. It went viral in an era just before YouTube. Like, I think I remember having to download it for free on my iPod video. Like, that was like a thing. I was like happy that I could just watch it whenever I wanted to. That just wasn't an easy thing to do. I remember putting it on my PSP. Just because it gave me joy and I would smile anytime I watched it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I guess I've been a fan, but I wasn't always really into his movies and stuff like that. And I thought the title was awful.
Yeah.
I thought the title of this movie was just atrocious. And I think it's one of the things that really put me off the movie for certainly during its theatrical run, because I didn't see it obviously till it came to video and probably way after that.
Mm-hmm.
When I think I was recommended to as a good mockumentary or a Spinal Tap-esque film, which it is.
Yeah, it's no Spinal Tap. Mm-hmm. Spinal Tap is a better movie.
Yeah, I think hands down. This movie does have some issues. Really runs out of steam.
Yeah, but it's a funny enough movie. It carries, it's got charisma. It's got some good jokes, some good songs, some well-written songs.
Yeah, I think it tries to put a beating heart in the middle with these three guys kind of reuniting. And it kind of works, kind of. Like, it's not particularly engaging, but it is something the movie tries to do. And it's not like it's poor or anything like that, but it doesn't really add to the film.
Yeah.
I think last week we talked about one of the strengths of Spinal Tap was that you really feel for those guys. Like, you want them to become a band again.
Mm-hmm.
And because we really start off with only in a flashback, we don't really see them together. So we don't know what that chemistry is like. So we don't have they're back together. It's a good moment, I guess, for Connor to end on a happy note, but it's not particularly satisfying. That'd be my biggest complaint about the film.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what sets great comedies really apart from anything else. Just like, I always quote Ebert on, your emotions will never lie to you. When you watch a movie like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and I believe Judd Apatow's a producer on this, mm-hmm. you know, you feel for those characters. You want him to end up with the girl. Mm-hmm. You know, even something like Wedding Crashers, which we watched the other day, which hasn't aged particularly well. But still, you want Owen Wilson to get the girl. You want Vince Vaughn to be happy at the end of the film. You know, you can have a funny movie, but if you don't really care about the characters, it's just a funny flick. Yeah. And that's about it. And this movie is a little bit more than just a funny flick, but not much more. And I think that's my only real complaint.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
I put it nicely.
Yeah, you put a bow on that.
I put a bow on that. All right, that's the show, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
See you later. Bye.
All right, that's it. I did want to mention that we have possibly the demise of the MCU.
Yes.
And since we occasionally try to talk about other things before we just dive right into the movie, I did want to mention, I guess, like, how do you feel about another poorly reviewed MCU film hits the box office? It does decent numbers because Captain America is a brand name. You know, Harrison Ford's a star, and they put, listen, if you do saturation marketing and you saturate the booking, you put in a lot of theaters, people are going to go see movies. It's just how it works. Mm-hmm. It's how it's always worked.
I know it's going to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just not, nobody cares about Marvel anymore.
I don't know if it's quite that bad, but they certainly don't have their finger on the pulse anymore like they did a few years ago.
It's not Chris Evans either.
It's not Captain
America. Just trying to like replace him already just to make more money.
Well, I mean, they really explained that story-wise what they wanted to do with the character. And I'm really okay with that. I'm not okay with them. The show was, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this movie should have come out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years after that show would have been the sweet spot. I mean, this movie should have gone into production right as that show, you know, was airing. You mm-hmm. know, they should have been finishing up, polishing up the script.
It would
have
been better.
Yeah, so they could have carried some of the momentum. Because I think the show was all right.
It was all right.
It ended on a really sour note. And I thought its final episode was really bad and ended up with that really cheesy speech. Even though I like Anthony Mackie a lot, I was watching the movie the other day.
I have nothing against him.
Yeah, I think he's great. He's fantastic in the role. I think they could give him more to do as the Falcon, or pardon me, Captain America. I was watching the film the other day, and I just forgot the damn name of it. It's where he is the landlord, and he tries to break segregation in L.A. and stuff like that. And it's a pretty all right movie, but I kept chuckling during the movie because he was clearly jacked in it's a period piece from like 19, you know, like early 40s. Mm. And like they try to hide it, but every now and then he'll take off his shirt and you can tell like he is just like swole underneath that thing. And it always made me chuckle that they wardrobe really tried to do the best they could to hide that. But, you know, when compared to everybody in the MCU, he doesn't seem that big, but in reality, Anthony Mackie's muscle mass would be just like huge to just like a regular person.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I was thinking that. I was like, yeah, he was probably training hard for going from Falcon to Captain America.
Yeah.
We've seen that weird change on actors. And not every actor has done it, but a lot of the actors, like, they feel like a body change is necessary every time they play somebody in a comic book movie. Would you be upset if somebody just didn't get jacked to play a superhero?
Well, that's kind of how it used to be done. Like, you didn't used to get jacked. It wasn't until, like, Chris Evans and, like, all those guys came up. Wanted to get jacked. It wasn't until like literally some wrestlers came into the picture either.
Well, yeah.
Like John Cena and The Rock.
Yeah, I think you had, you know, you obviously your 80s and your bodies guys, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Jean-Claude Van Damme, not so much Seagal, but you had these guys who were known for their musculature and their like physiques and everything like that. And the 90s, we went completely away from that.
Yeah.
Like by the mid 90s, nothing could be less cool than a guy like flexing and picking things, heavy things up on screen. Nobody wanted that anymore. And I think after about 10 years to 15 years of that sort of mindset, you know, when the comic book movies hit, I think people just expected that some guys were just going to be big, you know, and Evans made a good decision to put on a ton of muscle mass to play Captain America because he would be huge.
Yeah.
And that worked out pretty well. Same thing with Evans. What's that movie he did before? Oh, the Joss Whedon film about all the horror monsters coming out of the cabin in the woods. Oh, yeah. I'm glad the listeners got to hear my entire process come around as I made that work. But yeah, like in that movie, Hemsworth is he's not small, but he's a more athletic physique.
Yeah.
And then like 2 or 3 years, I think it was the same year because that movie was, I think, held on for 3 years before it was finally released. And because of that, like, he's really small in that movie. And Thor comes out a couple months later, and he's fucking 30 pounds of muscle heavier.
Yeah.
And like, just like that, it was established that the guy from Chris Pratt, he came from Parks and Rec as kind of a chubby, schlubby loser guy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he is shredded in a Marvel movie. So it's just the norm now. The only guy who's done different is Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who, another actor whose name I just forgot. And you don't know it either because you didn't say his name.
That's, oh, Twinkle Toes from Twilight.
Twinkle Toes.
Patterson.
Patterson. Twinkle Patterson Toes. yeah, because I don't have a problem with his physique. But by the way, I don't...
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson. I nothing against Ben Affleck or anything like that. I don't have a problem with an older Batman being like a stronger powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't have the speed anymore. But I always think a Batman would be pretty quick and agile. At least that's the way I always would have imagined him. Not a bulky guy.
I don't picture him bulky either. I picture him lean,
mm-hmm.
very wiry.
Yeah.
Maybe tall.
Maybe tall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any other ways you imagine Batman? Taking a bath and just his cowl?
No. I don't have sexual fantasies.
You don't think him just like hanging off the Batmobile, staring back, looking at you coy? You don't.
It's not my thing. some gals it might be, but not this gal.
That's not your thing.
Okay, where to start? Ever since I was born, I loved music. As soon as I could, I started a band.
Right away, we knew he was something special.
Gosh, sweet. Immediately, I said, man, this guy right here, he's gonna make it big.
This movie relishes in its musician cameos, celebrity cameos. Does a great job with almost all of them.
You tell me you didn't see him and say...
So Meredith, what facts do you have for us this week about the pop star who never stops stopping?
You know, the facts weren't aplenty this week.
Yeah.
So we'll go through this pretty quickly. Here it is.
Lay it on me.
The real life rappers, 50 Cent, Diddy, Nas, etc., talking about their love for Style Boys were not scripted. Their responses were based on questions asked by the Lonely Island, as if it were about the real life group Beastie Boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, I think that's what you want to do. Those guys aren't actors. So you want to ask them a real question and then use that in context later.
Yeah.
Which is the joke. That's fine.
Yeah.
It was a good way to get good performances from real musicians. You know, it really was.
Mm-hmm. The song Things in My Jeep features Linkin Park. I didn't know that.
I didn't catch them either. Yeah. I'm not a Linkin Park fan.
I'm not either.
Yeah, so.
They kind of have a signature look.
They do, I suppose.
The signature douchebag look.
The signature douchebag. You can't say that. That guy's dead. You have to be respectful now.
Oh.
It's okay. He's been dead a long time.
He's still a douche.
I don't even know his name. Chester something?
Yeah, who knows? Who cares?
Our biggest fan, a Linkin Park fan. Unsubscribe. One star.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. The sudden onstage breakup of the Style Boys is similar to the real-life incident with Glenn Frey and Don Felder of the
Eagles. Oh, the Eagles, yeah, this whole bit.
In 1980, which led to the band splitting a few days later.
With them, they don't get into a fight. They almost get into a fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like their lead guitarist basically like stands in front of them like, oh, guys, we're playing a show. And they sort of separate. But it's a thing of music legend.
Yeah.
And this satirizes that as they have that fight in the first act.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's pretty funny.
Agreed.
Is that it?
No, I have one more.
Give it to me.
Wait, I have two more.
Okay.
Believed to be loosely based on Justin Bieber, Connor for real, Adam Sandberg, has a turtle. And for a while, Justin Bieber had a monkey. Both exotic pets. Both run after someone recording them in an aggressive manner. Also, there is an Anne Frank reference in the movie, and Justin Bieber had a controversy in the Anne Frank house by claiming he hoped she would have been a believer. The trailer featuring him playing drums as an infant is very similar to a scene in Justin Bieber's movie. They both have many tattoos. Also, the subtitle of the movie is Never Stop, Never Stopping, and the sub... and the subtitle of Justin Bieber's first movie was Never Say Never. However, Adam Sandberg actually denied this on Late Night with Seth Meyers, explaining that the movie is not directed towards Justin, but more the current music industry in general, also pointing out that his character, Connor For Real, is more of a rapper than a singer.
So basically, when you make a movie, you don't really know what's going to happen with the marketing team and the marketing department. And this movie is a great example of that, because I think they made the name of the movie was Connor For Real. Mm-hmm. And obviously it got changed, and the entire marketing was to basically be about a Justin Bieber parody, which the movie really isn't. There's just a few jokes about Justin Bieber,
yeah,
which is unfortunate, but because they took that direction, they gave it this terrible title, which we just talked about. And for the most part, they focused on the few Justin Bieber-esque, you know, bits and gags. Like, yeah, the Anne Frank thing, that was in every trailer. That's a good joke, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's easily understandable, so. And I think that's something people could relate to a pop star, even if they didn't realize it was Bieber. Even though I don't think Bieber did anything wrong in that situation. He just, like, if she was living today, she'd be a fan. I hope she'd be a fan. And people were like, what a piece of shit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think
it seems that's really rough. Bad. Yeah, honestly.
Ariana Grande licked a donut.
Yeah.
She like stone cold looked a worker in the face and just like licked
him. She flipped him off and then she kicked him in the gut and took him down for a stunner and drank two beers over him. And then she licked that donut.
Yeah, exactly.
And that guy, he's dead now.
We need a grave digger.
It's the only time I get a chance to play it. Nobody dies in this movie.
Mm.
Now I have to put in the fucking sound effects track. Damn it.
Last fact.
Last fact. Lay it on me. What is it?
The male fan pressing himself up against the window of Connor's limo with an exposed genitals was played by...
His penis.
Can you guess who?
I have no idea who it is. It's not Siegel, is it?
No.
Who is it?
It's close to Siegel.
It's close to Siegel?
Yeah.
Like bird-wise?
No.
I don't know. Who is it?
Judd Apatow.
Oh, that was Apatow's dick?
He said, "Why did I do it? I just felt like I had asked so many people to get naked for comedy. Jason Segel's full frontal scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That is in this instance, I should give back and show that I can talk the walk."
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that was Apatow's dick.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he put it. It's one of the movie's better gags.
Yeah, and he has to sign it.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it is. It is really funny. Him Purelling right after.
But he signed it.
He did. He did sign it. So this is a film that did not do very well at the box office, to put it mildly. This movie is released in 2016. This is a May release, by the way. And a June release, by the way. This is a $20 million film. It grosses only $9 million. This movie wasn't predicted to do that well, and it underperformed under those numbers. So I want to stress how poorly this film really did at the box office. Nobody went to go see this movie due to how bad that marketing campaign was. And that really sets it. But I do want to take everybody back so we can have a look at what was going on in the year of our Lord, 2016. So in 2016, we had Taylor Swift dropping 22. Now, we don't like to think about 2016 as being 9 years ago, but almost a decade ago. By the way, our top 10 films. So let's see here. Star Wars, Force Awakens. 9, Suicide Squad. Remember Suicide Squad?
Mm-hmm.
9 years. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. We'll talk about that movie one day. We spent the whole show talking about that super movie. Zootopia. I still like the movie. We're just now getting a sequel.
Yeah.
It took 10 years.
That's ridiculous.
Deadpool. We've had 3 Deadpools in that time. Deadpool was the 6th highest grossing film of that year. Number 5, The Jungle Book. Still stands as the only movie that was remade from a cartoon by Disney that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
And that's about it there. Number 4, Secret Life of Pets. Well, that was really that successful? Jesus Christ. The fourth best film of the year? Jesus. Number 3, Captain America Civil War. Still my favorite MCU film. Number 2, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Probably the best output they've done with the Star Wars franchise. And could you guess number 1 for 2016?
I have no idea.
It's a Disney film and it's animated.
WALL-E.
No, you're off by about 8 years, I think. Finding Dory. Finding Dory. That was the number one film that year, and that brought in $486 million here in the United States.
I would have never guessed.
I would not. So Popstar is not on this list because it was a terrible, terrible failure.
Beautiful.
But there you go. So now we have at least the stage set on what were the best films of 2016, or at least what people thought were the top films of 2016 by buying a fuck ton of tickets to that.
Before we get into this wonderful movie, let's talk about our socials.
Hey, okay, we got into forgotten the meat of the review.
Yeah.
22 minutes in.
Why not, right?
Let's do it.
Well, if you can email, if you want to, you can email me ridiculous I am.
You can email straight to her.
Yeah. And I'll read it. Oh, I'll read it good. It
goes right to her inbox.
At grittyrebootcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. If you want to do this in a bit more of a modern way and just make a simple comment or maybe a request an episode, you can just search for Gritty Reboot on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, and you'll be able to find our clips and have a quick way to message us or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we've done a couple of requests in the past, and we've had a few people point out some mistakes. Nothing recently, because we're perfect, but we have had a few that have come up, so... But by all means, reach out there, and it's a good way to keep in touch with what's going on with the show. So,
man, tell us about our mistakes.
Give us
a 5-star review and tell us about our mistakes.
Yeah.
And we'll listen to you.
Oh, yeah, we will. Because I know there was one that I got wrong when we did Amityville Horror.
Ah.
I think I got like the dates wrong. I put something like 10 years in the past. And he was really upset about that. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, you know, I didn't like professionally research this, but I just kind of read the fact and read it wrong. I was like, I'm sure there's other things I've got wrong that are much worse.
I'm surprised I'm not the one getting the vitriol because I have facts and they could be all wrong.
Well, I think if anything, what happens to you is a fact is disproven or proven that it was just a legend and nobody ever updates Wikipedia or IMDb.
Oh, yeah.
I think this happened one time where you told an urban legend and I literally had a clip of like Michael Biehn going, oh, that never happened. That's just what people say happened. You know, sometimes that's just how it is. Sometimes you think you have a really great fact and then Michael Biehn comes in and completely ruins everything that you want.
I'm good with it.
Go fuck yourself.
See, he's still trying to fuck this show over.
Go fuck yourself.
That clip stays forever.
All right. Are you ready
to
go through this movie? I'm going to talk like this the rest of the time.
And this is like an NPR version of our show. Tell us what happened at the cinema.
Okay. This movie starts with Adam Sandberg and company goofing off, and there's credits. There's an introduction to the Style Boys, and then you see Nas come in commenting on the band. And then...
Yeah, we have a pretty good standard music, I guess music, well, not really a biopic. These were a more direct parody of the concert film fad that was going on in the late O's and early and early aughts. Not necessarily that. This was really like they did one for Justin Bieber, but they did one for Miley Cyrus. They did one for Katy Perry, One Direction. Basically, every big pop star at the time got a movie like this, and they would do two or three of these a year. And if you've ever seen those movies, this movie's a lot like that. So if you don't come from that background, you're going to think it's from something else. But it's more a parody of like how popular those movies were,
mm-hmm.
especially the One Direction film. That was directed by Morgan Spurlock, I think.
Mm.
And it's pretty solid. Pretty solid. It's the only one of those movies worth watching.
Yeah.
I've seen the Hannah Montana one as well.
Mm.
Yeah. I saw it in the theater with Larkin. It was kind of fun in 3D, but otherwise it's just a concert movie. It's a concert movie with somebody I didn't care about.
Yeah.
Now I kind of like Miley Cyrus, kind of.
Well, we have the Style Boys breaking up. And then
we talked about earlier with that fight scene.
Yeah, we introduce Connor for real.
Yeah, he comes in, he makes the other guy in the Style Boys his backup, basically, his DJ.
Mm-hmm. And then 50 Cent makes some comments. Simon Cowell comments, doink da doink. And that goes off on... a tangent. Then there's shots of Connor on tour in the song booth, and then more credits.
We're still in the credits.
Yeah. There was a long credits.
There was a long credits, yeah.
Mariah Carey, I'm so humble. She makes fun of herself, which I love.
Yeah, yeah. No, there are some nice moments of celebrities making fun of themselves. Yeah. I think that's one thing that comes from a long career in SNL, is you get more approachable with going to other celebrities and saying like, hey, you fine making a joke about yourself here. And most of them have good humor about it. They're rich, so what do they care?
Mm-hmm. And then we have Connor's second album dropping.
Yeah, this is the whole plot of the movie.
Yeah. That
his new record is going to drop after a big hit, and this is his world tour.
His manager, Harry, is played by Tim Meadows.
And then, the ladies' man, if you will.
Yep.
The greatest movie ever made.
He was also in Walk Hard.
He was in Walk Hard.
Yeah.
He was also, did I mention he's in The Ladies' Man?
Yeah, he's
in The Ladies' Man. Yeah, yeah.
I know, but.
One of the best comedies of the 90s.
Nobody likes that movie.
Blame the Wang. No, nobody.
You're the only one.
No, there are dozens of us. White, babe, white chicks ended racism.
No, it didn't.
It did. White chicks ended racism. No, it's over. The second a black man donned white face, it was over. We are in a post-racial era.
Connor talks about his turtle.
He loves his turtle. The turtle is a reoccurring theme throughout this movie. He loves to play with that turtle.
My favorite part, Connor announces his first music video, Not Gay.
Discrimination. It ain't right. I'm not gay, but if I was, I would want equal rights. I'm not gay, but if I were, I would marry who I like. It's not fair, I'm not gay, that the government has a say in who can love who not gay, or to which god you can pray on a gay. It gets me so angry.
Now this is one that still makes me chuckle, because yeah. I love the homophobic panic that's just built into like every other every other rhyme in this song.
Yeah.
Also, you can't get an audio, but my favorite part is like Pink kind of staring back at him.
Yeah, Pink's in the video.
Yeah, Pink being uncomfortable with how homophobic it got. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite one.
Yeah.
It's too funny.
I enjoy the catchphrase one as well.
Ringo Starr comments on Connor. And then Connor gets some bad reviews from Rolling Stone and other reputable magazines.
Yeah, things start to go south for him and the new record.
Mm-hmm. Connor's getting interviewed about what the other style boys are up to, so it kind of pisses him off.
Yeah, you can see how much he really despises everything to do with his old group. And like I said, there is time in this movie that goes to like building that drama. It's not like they try to shoehorn it in. Like, they really do try to make, like, a character journey for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do want to mention that. Like, it's not like I didn't like it because it was half-assed. I just didn't care for it.
Maya Rudolph is selling appliances, and she uses the N-word, but, like, the hard R.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Ooh, the hard R there. You don't hear that
often. Yeah.
I was going to grab the clip, but then I realized I would get canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, for just even playing it. But it's hilarious. It really is.
A$AP Rocky sells Crunchables.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
It's funnier than it sounds.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Paula Sarah Silverman is the publicist. She's great. Imogen Poots is Connor's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, that was Imogen Poots.
Mm-hmm.
A very beautiful actress with a terrible name.
I know.
I was going to say she probably got beat up in school, but she was probably very, very pretty, so that probably negated a lot.
Yeah.
She was in a movie we've already covered before, Fright Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we will cover her again with a blanket. No, we will cover her later.
Because she comes straight out.
We're gonna do 28, the 28 later series.
Is she gonna be in there?
Yeah, she's in the second one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's a kid in there.
I was gonna say
it's like her first role, I think.
Years later, she would be like an old woman.
Yeah. or the appropriate amount of time would have passed. It's been It's been 28 years. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I just turned to dust right on the mic.
Wow. Okay. Anyways.
It hasn't been 20.
Yeah, I know you're a liar.
You're a liar.
You're a fucking liar.
I think 28 Days Later was like 2002, 2001. Now I gotta look up 28 Days. Thanks a lot.
Connor puts his album in every appliance, which pisses everyone off.
2002. Yes, so he signs a brand deal with their knockoff for GE, And so his music plays in every appliance around the world, I mean, around America, every time you open it without you asking for it, with no way to turn it off. So you might guess it doesn't work out very well.
Not only that, he only sells 65,000 copies in a week.
Which is like nothing.
Harry has to give him the news. They stop filming, a bee attacks. You just hear a bunch of shit in the background happening, but a blank screen where there's only text. And then you have your Bill Hader.
So the bee attack, before we get to that, I want to mention that the bee attack is hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's up there, one of my favorite jokes in the movie, especially when they're like, "Did you guys get that? Toaster on the camera." I just enjoy that they just did a fucking radio joke basically in the middle of this movie. But yes. So then we get the introduction to Bill Hader. And as always, Bill Hader comes in and steals every fucking scene he's in. And he drops this gem on us.
Yeah, my name is Zippy. I'm the guitar tech on the tour. Shit. I make sure all the instruments are tip top. I love the road. You know, this is kind of a perfect job for me. But my favorite free time thing is flatlining.
Heart rate dropping.
Flatlining is when you technically lower your heart rate.
This is so stupid.
Well, you're dead.
Still dropping.
Then you can catch a glimpse of the afterlife. Got the idea from the film Flatliners, Joel Schumacher film shot by Jan de Bont. You know, I try to fit in a
maybe my favorite F1 element of this is the fact that he has to mention it was shot by Jan de Bont.
Oh, wow.
Very film nerd of Bill Hader.
Not this time.
And he doesn't shit his pants. For some reason, this joke, every time I watch this movie, even when I grab the clip, it makes me chuckle legitimately.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking absurd and it's so goddamn Bill Hader.
Yeah, he's so funny.
I love it.
Joan Cusack is Connor's mom, which is hilarious because she goes on tour with a bunch of other bands.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great gag. I love Joan Cusack. So.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake does food service.
Which is another good celebrity cameo and a fun joke that... Yeah, I know he sings later on in the movie. They're like, shut up.
Yeah. Connor sings his second single from the album. Hardly anyone is in the second tier of his concert.
Yeah, it's starting to clear out.
Sell out an 18,000 seat arena. Chris Redd is the other rapper, Hunter.
He does a really good job here. I think Chris Redd's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hunter and Connor team up. Connor and Harry have a talk about Lawrence, who is still mad at Connor after so many years. He's upset that he didn't give him credit when he was accepting an award.
Yeah, so he wrote the catchphrase lyric, or verse, basically, and that is what broke Colin.
So first you're in a group. You introduce us to the Style Boys and Donkey Roll. Of course, we play the hell out of that. That's a hit for us, man. And then, Connor, you get that breakout moment. You get a phone call from Claudia Cantrell.
The one and only.
And she asks you for a verse, man, on her song, Turn Up the Beat.
This is earlier in the film. And this is Emma Stone in a cameo, which is a lot of fun as well. Mm-hmm. Emma Stone, an all-time great SNL performer.
But you take that moment, and instead of just like kicking a regular verse, you know what I'm saying? You did something a little different.
The catchphrase verse, as it's now known.
Oh, yeah, yeah, hello.
I had been working on a catchphrase. Mm-hmm. But what had happened was I just thought of so many dope ones that I was like, what if I put them all into the verse?
It's kind of bitch. Say word. Dilbert. Doink to doink. Sorry, Dad. Dinky nuts. Squirrel jam. Hat.
Yeah, he said so many words I didn't know. That was a game changing moment.
Usually, like one catchphrase in a hit. He dropped like 30 on us in one night. Shit was crazy.
DJ Tanner. Swanky pups. My moped music. Costco samples like a motherfucker. Ooh. Crank up the mids. Patrick Stewart money. You know who it is. Connor for real.
Immediately, I said, man, this guy right here. He's gonna make it big. Because when you have a catchphrase, the world is catched by your phrase.
You fast forward. Things start to happen, man. You get the pop music award. And now, here comes those offers.
Very funny. Absolutely. Very funny. Connor performs and practices changing wardrobe so it doesn't affect his balls.
Yeah, because he's gonna do a high-flying stunt.
Yeah.
So he has to have a harness right there.
He's on his tour and he's performing and he becomes naked and it's revealed that he tucks his dick when he performs.
Yeah. He is positioned in a way where he tucks it back and he looks like he has no dick.
Hunter teases Connor on whether or not he pranked him.
And this is like a little running side joke for like 15 minutes till he finally admits to it later in the movie.
Connor takes his girlfriend to see a bunch of wolves and Seal is singing, and that's when he proposes to her. The wolves eventually get loose and attack everyone. Seal gets attacked and bites a wolf back. Seal loses an eye and soothes Connor.
Yeah, Seal is very good at fighting wolves. How do you think I got these scars?
Yeah.
it's a very good, another great cameo. Yeah. Seal's great. It's a fucking great joke.
Jimmy Fallon talks of the donkey role when he's back with the Style Boys. He does it with Fallon on stage. Connor gets dumped by his fiance.
And also backstage after the donkey role, Connor is pretty upset that he even had to do it.
Yeah.
So they still continue that. Like I said, that thread does run throughout the film, so it's not underdeveloped. And yes, his fiance does leave him for Seal.
Owen tries to parent trap Connor and Lawrence.
The parent trapping is a gag that is a running gag throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, a reference to the Haley Mills / Lindsay Lohan family comedy.
Yeah.
I did not think I'd bring up Haley Mills on this show, but one day we'll have to cover Parent Trap.
More Connor performs. Owen tells Connor Lawrence is coming to meet him and apologize, and Connor automatically suspects Owen of parent trapping him. So another reference to that joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawrence and Connor argue.
Yeah.
And then this is where my other favorite part comes in, where they're in the limo and everybody's coming up to the window. It's like boobs and girls, and then all of a sudden you see a penis.
Yeah. So we mentioned this earlier. This is Judd Apatow's dick. And it comes in for one of the best laughs of the film.
Yeah.
And he signs it. It's a very funny scene. And it punctuates that their re-break up again. Is that there is this hilarious comic moment as the band is falling apart.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of Talladega Nights when he has the fallout with his father. And one of my favorite jokes in the movie is Unleashed. When he's like, you're not first, you're last. You told me that. Oh, hell, you can be first. You can be third. Hell, you can even be fourth. I live my whole life according to that. Like, he's having an existential crisis at that moment about this one element as his dad is stepping out of his life forever again.
Yeah, absolutely. Hunter performs, and then Harry talks of Connor for real possible downfall. Connor goes on stage while Hunter is on. They play their songs at the same time. So they're clearly fighting. They're not getting along.
Yeah, this doesn't go well. He's obviously the more popular act, and it makes Connor look like an ass again. Maybe even though he is funny, I don't find him to be a very likable character. That's why I don't buy the drama. Which isn't necessarily bad on Sandberg's part. No, he just does a good job playing a jerk.
Owen wants to get rid of the helmet, but Connor tells him to get bent, basically.
Yeah. Because now he doesn't even DJ. He just plays literally everything off an iPod.
Yeah.
Old school iPod, by the way. Which even 9 years ago would have been a little outdated. A lot outdated, actually.
Connor is so upset he fires Harry. And then this is where we see Seal steals Connor's ex.
Oh, okay. So I got a little ahead of the game. But yeah, he steals his ex, and we find out that Tim Meadows is also the manager of the other rapper as well, Chris Redd's character.
Hunter. Connor makes terrible pancakes. He admits to putting dog shit in his pancakes to test his entourage. And this is where Owen quits the tour.
Yeah, because Owen is like, how could you question my loyalty? Why would you make me eat shit?
Yeah.
And I just love that Connor's like, I was making shit for everybody. I just figured I'd test you too. Like it really wasn't personal. He just was like, well, I'm already baking shit pancakes and you were here.
Connor finds his pet turtle sick and tries to get it help, but can't escape his fans. And then the turtle dies.
Yeah. Similar thing happened to Madonna.
Really?
No.
Oh.
That is a lie. Madonna lost her tiger that way. She couldn't get through the paparazzi to get him to the exotic pet doctor.
I would have believed you.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it could happen. You don't know. How did Bubbles die? Michael Jackson's monkey. Looks like next week, new format to the show. Investigative journalism. What happened to Bubbles the monkey?
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody out there that knows. There's probably a podcast about it.
We're going to be that podcast. We're going to get to the bottom of this mystery. Is it even a mystery? I bet I can Google it and find out what happened.
We'll never remember anything.
We'll never remember. We were literally recording it. We could never forget.
This is not 9/11.
This is. Thank you for let us remember this somber time.
We need a grave digger.
Was that too dark?
Hey, I'll let you get two of those in.
Yeah, woo! Now let me play a few more thousand to catch. No, that's not enough.
Aquaspin releases Connor from the contract and their tour is canceled.
Yeah, even the appliances kick them out.
Connor moves back home while his mom is touring with Fall Out Boy. Just a picture of Joan Cusack with him.
Yeah, and a great Photoshop gag. And it's the first time he has to deal with any kind of failure, which is kind of interesting to see, in all honesty. I like this part of the film, even though it isn't necessarily the funniest part of the movie. It is good for his character.
Connor has been drinking and drawing pictures of horses.
Yeah, really, really bad pictures of horses. Like, our daughter draws finer pictures of, like, they're like 5-year-old pictures of horses.
Paula comes to visit Connor, and they watch old videos of Connor in the old days.
It reminded me of George Bush's painting, like when he first started doing the painting and he showed people, and I was like, dude, those are paint by numbers. Like, and he was cute that he was like, hey, look what I did. You know, he's like, I made this painting, I killed a bunch of Iraqis, I'm talented. What a piece of shit. Sorry.
Connor puts on a disguise to go out with Paula. He discovers Owen is doing his own thing.
So he, not just a disguise. It's a full fake nose, wig, chin putty.
Cheeks.
Yeah.
Like, it looks ridiculous.
And it's very, very obvious that he is wearing some kind of makeup.
Yeah. Nobody looks like that.
Yeah, because she's even like, please do not. And then the next scene is a cut to him already wearing it.
Yeah. Connor goes to see Owen after the show. And then eventually, Connor goes to see Lawrence.
So this is where all that pays off and they smooth everything over and they get back together.
Yeah, Connor admits to Lawrence that he was right.
There's some fun stuff here. I don't think it's emotionally satisfying, but there's still funny stuff here.
The whole time that he wrote everything, he ends up yelling at him. Lawrence comes over and hugs Connor.
Yeah, his meltdown / sorry is actually pretty good.
Apparently, Lawrence has a weed farm. They all go smoke together.
Stoned as fuck, yeah.
They make a bong with the award.
Which I think is what you would do.
Connor, Lawrence, Owen write a song together. And then, funniest part, Lawrence is outside and he's talking to birds. And then all of a sudden a bird shits in his mouth.
Yeah. Almost got me. Oh, God.
Connor has been reading a book on being a better friend.
This is a nice touch. I actually like that.
And then there's like this side thing on TV that, or somebody tells them that Taylor Swift gets arrested for murder and Connor gets nominated for a poppy.
Yeah, he's able to perform with the poppies or a version of the Grammys because Taylor Swift was indicted for murder.
Yeah.
Which got a pop out of you because you hate Taylor Swift.
I don't hate her. I just have issues with her.
You just hate Chloe Grace Moretz.
I don't hate Chloe Grace Moretz.
It's not true. She hates her. God damn. We have a dartboard in our garage. It's just Chloe Grace Moretz's face on it.
No, we do not.
Yeah, we just you throw darts at it, and you're like, "This is for the peripheral."
I didn't like that show.
See, you see, there it is, right there.
That doesn't
got it right there.
Like her.
Yeah, nailed it.
Whatever.
Nailed it.
Lawrence and Owen encourage him to do the Poppy Awards. Snoop shows up at the Poppy.
Yeah, he tries to cancel it. And they're like, no, dumbass. It wasn't because you did other things. It was because you screwed us over and acted like a jerk. It's a funny little moment between them all.
Hunter fights with Mariah Carey.
Which is fine. He tries to do an ad for the, what's it called, appliance company in the middle of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She immediately drops his ass.
Hunter and Harry get into it. And then Connor performs at the award ceremony.
Yeah.
He brings in the Style Boys and they perform together. Lawrence makes out with the stage manager.
And makes out hard with her.
And Connor gets a new turtle.
Yeah. It all works out. It comes together rather nicely. I think it kind of runs out of steam comedically later in the movie. But once again, this is not a bad comedy at all. There's a lot of fun stuff in it. If you like Andy Samberg, if you've enjoyed any of his comedic work, you'll probably really enjoy the hell out of this movie. And I think if you like musical biopics, like we just talked about, if you like Walk Hard, you probably get a lot of enjoyment out of this as well. There's great music industry jokes in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. And let's see how other people felt about it.
7 for me, by the way. Pure 7 for me.
Yeah, I think that's a fair rating for this movie.
Yeah. Fair.
In fact, this movie had a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 6.7 on IMDb, and a 4.7 user review. So very few people did not like this movie. But believe it or not, I got myself a doozy.
I'm excited.
It's a bit long, so gather around. This review is 1 out of 10. Truly the worst film I've ever seen.
Not a fan.
There are many films in the world. Millions, billions maybe. I can't profess to have seen all of them. But I've seen at least 1,000 and probably more. Furthermore, I do not pretend to be hypersensitive to the fine arts. I'm a viewer, not a trained filmmaker. Nevertheless, I've seen some really awful films. Now, granted, the definition of awful changes from person to person. However, Popstar, Never Stop Stopping, is the single worst film I've ever laid eyes on. I have been cooped up in my apartment for the last few days and was in a mood for something fun. I heard this film was a comedy. Ha, the joke's on me. The reviews look pretty good, and I have not seen the previews, so I read some of the reviews. Those couldn't possibly have been reviews for this film. They said that although this film missed some of its mark, it remained smart, entertaining, pop culture satire. Pardon me, I'm laughing as I write this. 1 minute into Popstar.
That's another laugh I got out of you.
My reaction was seriously. 3 minutes in, my reaction was, my God, this is horrible. I wonder if I should leave. 5 minutes in, I thought, this is no way entertaining. I hope this is just a joke that ends soon.
This man has no patience.
7 minutes in, it dawned on me. Holy cow, they are completely serious. This is how they wanted to make the film. Finally, 9 minutes in, I decided to stay for the entire damn movie because I was going to watch them destroy pop culture, rape my mind, and ruin America. Sorry if I seem overwrought, but the film really is that bad. It's not that Popstar doesn't try. It tries very hard. It tries to be the worst, most tasteless film ever produced by humanity. The film follows a pop star, Connor For Real, played by Adam Sandberg, and he comes out with his second solo album. He used to belong to a group called Style Boys, whose members are played by Sandberg's real-life comedy troupe, The Lonely Island. Connor's second solo album starts to tank, and he makes music videos, goes on tour, and interacts with people in his life and business, who are all played by veritable who's who of D-list celebrities, except for his publicist, who is played by comedian Sarah Silverman, who definitely does not give her all for this film. The film insults a number of A-list celebrities by using stock footage of them to associate them with the goings-on in this film. A number of other celebrities appear throughout the film to talk about turns of events, and you get the feeling that all of them had no clue what they were signing up for.
They were deceived.
The film contains many songs authored by The Lonely Island. The songs have the most artificial, forced, intentional, offensive lyrics that one can contemplate. It is stretching it too much to call them music. There are a number of jokes, but they either have no punchlines or the punchlines do not meet up with the setup. There are only a couple of jokes that actually make you laugh, and you get the distinct impression that those were mistakes on the parts of the writers. The writers of couples are also The Lonely Island. There is gratuitous nudity, including director Judd Apatow's penis shoved brazenly in your face. He, of course, directs this film. Popstar film is meant to scandalize and does not shy away from alienating many populations when possible.
No.
This film is also extremely gross, involving turtle vomit and fecal pancakes, among other things.
Now, the fecal pancakes aren't really gross. Like, it's not a gross-out joke. That's not the point of the joke.
Yeah.
And they're very, like, they don't look like shit pancakes. It's not like Van Wilder when he has those dog cum croissants.
We're getting to the conclusion.
Sorry, I just wanted to say the word dog cum croissant. That's the appropriate reaction to that term.
This film will have you cringing, sighing, gasping, groaning, and hiding behind anything and anyone just to catch some peace. This could have been an incredibly successful satire of the modern pop culture phenomenon. Instead, it is an absolute unmitigated trash. And at the end of my viewing, I laughed and clapped for several minutes straight. I truly did not know that such a horrible film was possible. Hats off to the cast and crew for lowering the bar of the film by several degrees. This film is endemic of a huge problem with this country, and to some degree the world. America is constantly dumbing down, but that assumes that some vestigial amount of intellect is left. This film has no intellect. Common sense has been murdered with a butter knife, and shut down the port of Potty.
He was not a fan of the film.
You gathered that from all freaking 4 pages of that
review? Yeah, he was not really crazy about the film.
Yeah, he took that shit seriously.
I disagree.
Almost personal.
Yeah, he was offended by this. How dare this movie? Shit exists. Pancakes? That's disgusting. The gross out humor. I'm like, it's way more gross out stuff than that. It's barely even a gross out gang.
Wonder how he feels about Freddy got fingered.
Well, Freddy is not actually fingered in the movie.
No, I know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's a different film. You think he would be upset?
That they even mentioned that Freddy was fingered.
Yeah.
But it's a ruse. I don't know. You know what? We'll have to cover Freddy got fingered and ask him. Mm-hmm. So you just made your own bed? You got a line now?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, it is what it is. I don't make the rules. I just live by it.
What are we doing next?
Well, sadly, we're not going to get an Ebert review in because he was very much dead by 2016. So he did not review this film. So I have no review part to give. But that means we will move on. And next week, we will cover The Abyss, Leviathan. Oh, and we already did that. We will be doing John Carpenter's We already did that, too.
We'll have to look in our
the only repeater crystal we, ball. The only repeater I want to do is RoboCop because I feel like we didn't do... It was our second episode, and I feel like we could do a lot better.
Because we did Evil Dead first, right?
Yeah, we did Evil Dead first. Yeah. And then we were able to do Evil Dead Rise again and kind of talk about a few more things we wanted to talk about in that Evil Dead episode we didn't get to. We didn't know what we were doing then.
Yeah,
we were sitting in the middle of this room. Our mics were like 2 feet apart.
We were so close.
Yeah, we were practically like holding hands as we podcasted. And
we didn't have
the sound quality was so terrible. Yeah. I don't even know what we did. Remember we did Reanimator and we didn't even have a format. You were like, let's just talk about the remake we'd want to do. And so we went in there and we did anything but that for like an hour. And the weird part is there's a reboot to Reanimator we didn't even cover.
Well, we'll get to it.
Listen, it is what it is. Maybe we do RoboCop because it's on Prime, the remake. So I don't know. Who knows? But either way. Gentlemen, with that being said, I really like this movie. I recommend it. I think you recommend it as well.
Absolutely.
So I give it a 7. What was your score?
7.
7. 7's all around. Lucky number 7s. But yeah, like I said, highly recommended. Go check it out if you haven't seen it. And with that, I think we're leaving it.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Who can love, who not gay, or to which god you can pray on a gay. It gets me so angry. On behalf of them, I feel passionate, not gay. So I pray for them and I say for them, we need to make a change.